so we will start our afternoon session now. So for this session, we will explore and learn about how our university, JYU's responsibility to reaching the goal. And for this session, we have representatives from Eritrea Learning for All Alpha Project, UNIPID, SUNORD, and the Student Union of JYU. So first, let's welcome Khalid, professors at Memphis, Abraham, and Marku from Alpha Project.
Good afternoon. First, I think allow me to extend our gratitude to Ivascula University for inviting us to participate in this seminar. So on behalf of the Eritrean team and myself, I would like to extend our gratitude for that. The University of Ivascula is one of partners working with Eritrean institutions of higher education, and we have one interesting program that has been running for the last 2 years. It's under Education for All. So actually, the major focus of the presentation will be on what we have been doing, you know, to realize Education for All goal, what achievements have been made, what challenges were faced, you know, when we were implementing, you know, the program, and how we tackled those challenges. Overall, that part will be presented by my colleagues, you know, Khaled, Abraham, and Marco. We'll share their reflections on that, because these people were directly involved, you know, with that project. My responsibility was simply to see how these things were doing, because I work with the National Commission for Higher Education, which is the institution that oversees the higher education system in the country. So my job was a little bit bureaucratic. But in the background, I will try to give you some highlight as to how we conceive a partnership. What do we use partnership for? And what are the factors that make partnership either, you know, achieve its goals or fail? So these are some of the experiences that I want to share with you. I will try to present it, you know, in a highly simplistic and in a broad manner. I will not go into the details. And that will hopefully give us a framework within which, you know, the National Commission for Higher Education conceives, formulates, and implements, you know, its partnership programs. So essentially, these are the sort of things that I want to do. That is the emblem of the National Commission for Higher Education. Surprisingly, it's similar to the emblem of Ivascula University. Now, usually, you know, we try to develop a partnership between training and research institutions, you know, in countries from our region and anywhere. Now, why we want to develop this kind of partnership essentially is, you know, to strengthen, to build our capacity so that we'll be able to give, you know, a relevant, high-quality education and improve access to higher education. So generally, the strategic principles upon which education in Eritrea is anchored on are, you know, access, equity, relevance, quality, and sustainability. We call these five strategic principles, and they guide more or less, you know, the education system in the country at all levels. But my presentation will focus on the partnership at the higher education level. So usually we use... So we usually, you know, encourage partnership to take place between the institutions of higher education of Eritrea and anywhere. And this can be done at different levels. First, any institution of higher education in Eritrea can take the initiative, you know, identify a partner and come to an understanding to work on a common interest identified by both parties. So the institutions of higher education, you know, have that kind of freedom to do that. But we usually, when two or three institutions are involved, then the National Commission for Higher Education, you know, tackles that partnership on behalf of the institutions of higher education. So there is a degree of flexibility that, but in always we encourage our institutions of higher education, you know, to identify partners, willing partners, you know, who will work with them. And the reason is why we encourage them, I'll come to that later on. So we believe, you know, that this kind of relationship significantly strengthens, you know, efforts to achieve objectives of mutual interest. One of the most challenging things that we find in partnership is to find a commonality on which we can work together. Because you have parties with different interests, you know, with different policies, with different legislation, and so on and so forth. And therefore, identifying a niche, a common niche on which you can work together is not always easy. And this is one of the challenges that we have. But at least we try to encourage, you know, overcome that problem in one way or another. So how do we understand, you know, or why do we see partnership as being important? We believe that, you know, doing things together is more effective, is more efficient, and it yields, you know, better results than doing things alone. Because we mobilize resources, we share experiences, we share expertise, and this increases, you know, the effectiveness and the efficiency and the impact, the output of the work done rather than doing together. So we believe that doing together is always very important, and this is why, you know, we always looking for partnership, and that's why, you know, we have always been encouraging our institutions also to go along that line. So usually, you know, in partnership, what we do is we mobilize the skills, we mobilize knowledge, we mobilize the resources. And these are, you know, geared towards achieving a common vision and a common mission. Unless there is a shared interest and unless there is a shared vision, working together becomes, you know, extremely difficult. You cannot move the way you want to move, you know, unless these things are shared. And from the very beginning, we make sure, you know, that we have those commonalities at the center stage of our partnership. Now, so a partnership, as I said, you know, significantly strengthens efforts to achieve, requires, you know, strong commitment and significant investment in time and resource. That is where commitment becomes, you know, very, very important. Because, you know, people have to move from one place to another, from Finland to Eritrea, they must commit themselves to that. Eritreans will come here, they must commit themselves to that. So commitment and, you know, willingness and working together to achieve objectives stated, you know, and formulated by both parties is very important. By commitment, I mean your time, resources, efforts, many things, you know, that make the project move forward to achieve its goals. But ultimately, you know, we also want partnership to be a win-win kind of relationship. We believe, even though, you know, our higher education system is still not, you know, at the level that we want it to be at this stage, whenever we design and formulate, you know, relationships, we don't want to put ourselves always at the receiving end. We also try to put ourselves, you know, at the giving end. So we do not only give, we also try to reciprocate, that is to give and receive. We always, you know, try to formulate relations. So this is done in different mechanisms, one of which is, you know, staff exchange. Now, our experience shows, you know, that the most effective way to build, one effective way of building our capacity and improve quality in the delivery of educational and research services to the students and the community is partnership. And this is, again, one reason why we always, you know, encourage our institutions of higher education to do that. So we link always partnership to that important aspect, capacity building. At the end of any partnership project, we must be doing things better than before. We must be in a better position to take over research and other teaching activities, you know, by ourselves. And therefore, we always try to build our self-reliance, you know, along that line. So partnership, any partner at the center of any partnership in our case is to what extent will this partnership, you know, improve our capacity? That is a key question that we have to look at, you know, whenever we formulate, you know, any kind of partnership. Now, this is, I have already said, you know, we have to see it as a two-way relationship. If you see partnership as one-way relationship where resources and expertise and so on are flowing from one end to another and there is not, you know, the reverse flow, then mostly it will result, you know, in some sort of misunderstanding. It loosens the commitment of the parties and so on and so forth. And that makes, you know, most of the time, those kinds of, you know, projects often fail to achieve, you know, the objectives. So there will be a lack of moving to the shared vision ultimately. But if we make sure that we are working together and we are sharing the benefits and that it's a win-win kind of, you know, partnership, then we'll work together better, understanding will be better, and commitments will also, you know, become stronger. And therefore, the achievement of the objectives becomes more, you know, greater than otherwise. Now, so in order to do that, there has to be mutual planning. Unless, you know, you plan partnership mutually together from the very beginning, then it will not move. Because most of the time, one party will impose that kind of, you know, partnership on the other, and that is a very serious problem. So mutual planning the kind of activities you want to do, the kind of objectives you want to achieve together right from the very beginning is very, very crucial. And we always try, you know, to do that. Now, but we also realize, you know, that partnership programs are very challenging. Very challenging because there are many actors sometimes with diverse interests and they will try to pull, you know, in different directions, and if you are not very careful, you will be off track. And that will ultimately, you know, make the project unsuccessful. So going by the spirit of the partnership, moving towards, you know, having a good sense of direction towards your objectives is very, very important. And therefore, the project document, any partnership, must be articulated, you know, properly along that line so that people know exactly how to move, when to move, who will be doing what, how. There will be shared responsibilities along that line. And make sure, you know, that each responsible entity is doing, you know, its mandate at the right time and in the right way. So we also should realize, you know, that partnership requires sharing. Sharing of what? Sharing of work, sharing of benefits, sharing of risks is also very important. We have to realize this. Sharing of resources, sharing of decision-making, sharing of responsibilities is very important. If these things are, you know, equally shared by the parties involved in partnership, then most of the time, you know, we succeed. If this kind of sharing is lacking from either party, then we start to have, you know, problems. Now, what do we need partnership for? At least, you know, from the Eritrean side, these are what we want to do. Build the research and teaching capacity, help develop academic programs, particularly postgraduate programs, by way of designing, you know, curricula and so on and so forth, enhance the quality of teaching and research, facilitate and improve monitoring of quality of education and research, particularly wanting a partnership to put pressure on our institutions of higher education, you know, to elevate themselves to the desired standard. And whenever, you know, partnership people come, we try to engage them, you know, in a number of ways along the line. improve access to educational resources, facilitate exchange of faculty and students. This is, in fact, one of the most important useful items that we have found. That is what you give and take also most of the time. So we send Eritreans to come here. We send Eritreans to Finland, and the Finnish, you know, academia come to Eritrea. And in this way, you know, we communicate, we share experiences, and so on. Now, usually, our partnership starts by signing memorandum of agreement or memorandum of understanding. As you all know, it's an umbrella, but then under that umbrella, you know, we have to develop concrete, you know, a partnership project. These are some of the linked programs, you know, signing of the memorandum of understanding done in the past. I think this is something that we can skip. Now, what are the critical factors for the success of linkage partnership? This is, you know, very, very important. At least from our experience, you know, contribution by all parties and strong commitment is very important. Mutual respect, good understanding, mutual trust, particularly, is very important. And effective communication strategy is also very important. Unless there is a very good channel of communication among the parties, then, you know, without that communication, a partnership could easily falter and ultimately, you know, fall. There has to be a fair distribution of obligations, responsibilities, and resources among parties. And it must always be designed in a win-win manner. There has to be good ability to provide guidance. Clarity of the roles and responsibilities of the parties is very important. The parties shouldn't say, well, this was not my responsibility. So from the very beginning, who does what and when must be clearly stated. Ability to remit within the remit of the strategic plans of both entities is very important. Transparency and accountability, a good plan of implementation, are also some of now this is simply to indicate, you know, how many partnership programs we have in Eritrea. Okay, we had, you know, 31, but some of them are phased out, some of them are active, and some of them are semi-active. Semi-active means, you know, they function intermittently. So these are the six Finnish projects that we have with Eritrean Finnish experts, you know, projects, partnership projects. The first one is ICT for Education, Alpha Education for All, which is going to be presented in detail later on, strengthening geoinformatics teaching and research capacity in Eritrean institutions of higher education, digital library services, higher education for food security and environmental sustainability, and the Finn Church Aid. So for the last 2 years, you know, Eritrea and Finland have been working on this, on these projects. Most of these are, as you can see, on the education sector. We don't have time, so I cannot go into the objectives and who are the parties, but Ivascula University is, you know, with the education for all. So these were some of the activities that have been going on between the two parties. This is, for instance, geoinformatics training laboratory that has been established as a result of the linkage partnership with the University of Helsinki. This is the ICT for Education, one of the most successful projects that we have. And through this project, we have greatly expanded the infrastructure, you know, for ICT-based delivery in our institutions of higher education, particularly in one of them known as Eritrea Institute of Technology. These were some of the staff exchange that have been made, you know, Finnish experts coming to Eritrea and Eritrean experts also coming to Finland. So this is all I have to say, and thank you for your listening, for your patience.
Good afternoon. Abraham. My name is Khalid. I am from a College of Education. I teach in the Department of Curriculum and Pedagogy, and together with my colleague Abraham, we are going to share one of the projects, linkage project that we have with the University of Jyväskylä, which is the Eritrea Learning for All. We are humbled to have been given the opportunity to present in this very relevant theme to both institutions, both to the College of Education and also to the University of Jyväskylä. So Eritrea Learning for All, which is essentially a capacity development project, has started 2 years ago, and now we are in the final phases of the project. And we feel this is an appropriate forum to reflect on the original intentions, the processes, the outcomes, and possibly the future prospects of the project. So the project was framed in the framework of the government's effort to improve the quality of learning and teaching in our schools. In this, the role of teachers, the role of leadership, the role of school guides was underlined, and by implication, how and what these education professionals are studying is a central role. So, ELFA, Eritrea Learning for All, took aim on the quality of educators. It means that how are educators being educated to educate these prospective professionals, and then by as a result to impact the quality of learning and teaching in the schools. So we have two main colleges in teacher education colleges in Eritrea. These colleges are barely fulfilling the national demands, both in terms of adequate number of teachers and also the quality of teachers, leaders, and also school guides that are needed. At the same time, these colleges are also challenged with the increasingly low status of teaching and teachers, at least in the higher education context. Again, seeing the professional profile of the colleges of education, now we have increasing number of junior faculty members that we call graduate assistants, who are taking up increasingly the role of educating those education professionals. So ELFA was framed in this context of teacher education in both institutions. So as an in-service professional development scheme, the focus were mainly improving quality of educators, and we also had partnering institutions, like we had education professionals taking part as participants from the Ministry of Education, for example. And we had overall number of 60 participants, of which 10 were female participants. And now we are during the final phases of the project. Now proceeding to the processes.
Okay, thank you, Khalid. First of all, my name is Abraham. I am a college educator, and at the same time, I am part of the group. My own part is on objectives. The ELFA project, Eritrea Learning for All objectives. And as you can see, our college is meant for developing or for producing teachers and for producing, you know, educational leaders as well as guide or school guidance officers. So to do this, I think the ELFA project main use is to produce the quality of educators, the educators that are supposed to teach, okay, these people that are going to serve in the schools. So ELFA is helping in producing quality educators, one. And second, it's also meant for producing, of course, co you know, with the Finnish people and other institutions to produce learning materials, and at the same time, which is of course research-based or activity-based. Then the second thing that second thing is to produce what you call partnership. The main aim of this is partnership. Partnership is very, very important because it's a means of sharing experiences. So the ELFA project gave us what you call a chance to make a partnership with different institutions. One, it is with the institutions that we have in our country. We have the Ministry of Education, one, and there are also other partners. So this is the advantage. And second one is it also, you know, enhances synergies for the development of quality teacher program. Then the other one is the most important thing that we got out of this project is there is a relationship with the Jyväskylä University. From the Jyväskylä University, we have a very important relationship. Okay, they will help us in quality education, improving our quality of education. Now, the other thing, that other than the objective that we have, is what are the modalities? The modalities and modules. This is the know-how or methodology in implementing the objectives of the ELFA project. So, as you can see here, we have the modules, the thematic areas. That are, you know, very strategic for the College of Education. One is the pedagogy of teacher education. The second one is about management and leadership, the second theme. The third theme is about literacy and numeracy in instruction and research. Then the other one is managing and understanding what you call learning difficulties. The fifth one is research methodology. And the last one is introducing technology or IT in education. These are, you know, the cornerstone of the thematic areas that we are using. Then the modality that we are using are the ways that we are processing or using are one is workshop. We are local, we have developed local workshops as well as international workshops. So these local and international workshops are very, very important in, you know, making interactions. Okay. Then the second one is assignments, pre and post assignments. After every workshop, we have assignments, and these assignments are very, very important because they can, you know, make more people master the subjects. Then the other one is we have after workshop also there are, you know, assignments which are given in a reflection way. People are asked to reflect what they have learned. And finally, we have individual and group researches in separate thematic areas. So these are the modalities that we have using in the ELFA project. Then the last, you know, all these modalities and modules, they do have ultimate aim. The ultimate aim is to co-create a learning material. That is, you know, the final stage that we have. So all together, the modules and modality, they are meant to produce what you call a learning material, which is, of course, research-based and relevant, contextual relevant, which, you know, goes with our immediate environment or context. Okay, then the last one is the outcome. What is the result of this? Of course, there are many, you know, results or that we get outcomes of this. But just to mention few, the first thing is the collaboration, enhancement of rich, what you call collaboration between ourselves and our institutions. One, it is with the local partnership. Local partnership means we have different institutions, partner institutions, like the Ministry of Education of our country, and others. So this created a strong bondage, a strong coalition with the local institutions that we have. This is the first outcome. And the second outcome is exposure. Exposure to the Finnish education system. Last year, I remember, we came here from Eritrea and we have visited different education systems in this country. So we got, you know, a lot of experience that can be used in our actual teaching and learning process. And the second one is we have also interactions with the Yuvascular University, you know, high profile experts. I think it's also another advantage or what you call outcome of the ELFA project. And the last one that we have is handbook. Okay, this is of course tangible, or what we call out of the modules and out of the modules that I have already said. Then the last thing is to produce a handbook. Now by this we are, you know, finalizing. The handbook is on the process of finalizing. It's on the verge to finish. It has 8 chapters. It's a handbook. This handbook is very, very important for the future learning and for the future initiatives. Then the last one is, of course, this is in the process of bargaining. It's a process of negotiating. We are on the way to have a local master's program, which is with the support of the ELFA project. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Abraham. Just to add on one point that Abraham has mentioned as an important outcome, of course, Mark will talk about this more. We are co-creating, you know, one of the key objectives was co-creation of learning material. So the handbook was not only the output, but the network that was created in writing this handbook, both locally within our own institution and also internationally with our JYU counterparts, was also an important outcome of the project. Now, the final slide. Though we value all these outcomes and we are appreciative of them, we feel this is an important forum to be critical to what extent this project was learning for all. So some of the implementation issues I'm going to mention. The first one is the issue of contextualization. Now this is, to what extent has the modules and the modalities that Abraham was mentioning, to what extent were they based on the local realities and lived circumstances of the educators? Not the least, to what extent was the project knowledgeable about the participants and their needs? And what makes this issue more pronounced is the very short time that have somehow limited the intended intensity of interactions that we wanted through the ELFA partnership project. The second issue is the role of local experts. Now, during the course of implementing this this project, we have stressed that these actors, the local experts, should play a critical role in contextualizing much of the modules and modalities. Not only being experts in the respective modules, but playing a mediating roles between the experts in Yuvascular and also the context in Eritrea. But the challenge that we had during the course of implementation was defining these roles and at the same time enhancing the roles of the local experts. Coming to the participants, we had high levels of eagerness and motivation of participants, at least during the beginning of the project. But we were challenged to maintain this motivation for various reasons. Now, we are going to talk about these reasons at a subjective level. This will require further assessment and research. But as leaders and local beneficiaries, we are giving certain perspectives, subjective perspectives, that could be the reason for this issue that we are raising. Now, the ELFA project, as the modalities of the ELFA project is more open. So these are in contrast to the customary ways of learning and teaching in our institutions. So participants were particularly challenged to balance their workload and also at the same time completing the assignments. So this was one of the main challenges in maintaining their motivations. And of course, there was an unsettling need among our participants for upgrading to either master's and PhD degrees, which was beyond the scope of the ELFA project. So these are among the reasons that has challenged us to maintain the motivation of participants throughout the project period. And the other issue is the issue of communication. Of course, we can mention so many examples about this. Just as an example, in communication, we had various challenges in communicating between the participants and also the JYU experts. We can mention so many coordination issues, scheduling workshops, particularly in Asmara, and financial issues. There were significant challenges in communication and coordination of the project. Now, although the design of the project was action research, which means that the whole project was meant in a design to learn from actual practices and fit those learned practices into improving. But in practice, we have seen very little assessment or the feedback of those assessments being fed into the ground and improving them accordingly. So as a symptomatic to this, we have seen various instances of ad hoc planning and various issues of transparency. Now, as a College of Education, as an institution, ELFA has provided various learning opportunities on how we could manage capacity development in our institution. The first one is integrating the culture of self and collaborative learning as a norm among the leadership and also teachers of the college, and mainstreaming and also strengthening research and development in the institutions of the College of Education. And then finally, experts, both at the College of Education and also in Ivascula, need more structured and more financed schemes to for a more genuine, as the professor was mentioning, more win-win mutual engagements. They need more structure and they need more finance in the future. Finally, on behalf of the project and the participants, we would like to thank the Finnish government for funding the project and the University of Jyväskylä for their commitments and their continued support.
Okay, good afternoon everybody. My name is Markku Leskinen and I'm a university teacher here. And I feel that I have some accountability now. Namely that it was 2014 when I made first visit to Eritrea together with Emma Ojanen to draft this project. And then it took a year from that when the project really started. So I will be brief here and raise a couple of points. So when you are doing jobs like this, it's very important that you decide carefully scope of your project. Namely that the scope could be narrow or broad. And when the needs are high, there is a tendency to choose your goals that they are very broad. And that means that in practice then you cannot go to the deepest level in an academic sense there. So that you have to cover so many angles and points, then something have to be left out. And I feel personally that our original intentions during the first visit was narrow. And then when we finalized those negotiations and goals, then they came broader. And as was discussed that this is a joint effort. And I would like to say that it takes two to tango here. And I'm not sure that where we dancing all the time together tango. It might be that I try to do, for instance, tango and my partner foxtrot or waltz. So there were some issues that needed clarifications, and I believe that we are now at the phase that we know how to dance together. So this is important that our steps are in line and the base is the same. So if we run, or I run, and the other one is walking, so we are not meeting each other. So therefore, when we are doing cooperation like this, it means that we are patient, so that we cannot run too quickly. It's better to walk, at least at the beginning, and then we learn to know what are the possibilities we can use what are our resources from UVascular, what are resources from Eritrea partners, and then we combine them. And the book will be very important for us because it will realize many aspects. And personally, I was involved in research methods training quite a lot, and the starting level was quite far from the highest academic standard, so that we should study very basic things. But now, after 2 years of training and data collection and analyzing, I'm very pleased and happy that we are now reaching the level that many of the partners could submit on their own academic papers, and they have learned the APA style and all these things that are essential part of research-based education, so that you should have an elementary level and later advanced level understanding of the research methods and publication process, and then you learn to use academic literature in your teaching. So I believe that we have taken very good baby steps at the moment, and the next phase of the project will support the establishment of the master's training, and there are high hopes also for doctoral programs. So this is kind of a start for us, and I hope that our relationship between long-term relationship, so that it's like we have now passed the engagement phase, and now we are negotiating some kind of marriage agreement, I suppose. And let's hope that we learn to dance much better than I do with my wife, so that... but with these words, I really wish good luck for all our partners in Eritrea and institutions, people there. This is a good start. Thank you for this opportunity to learn a lot from you and dance a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you for those very interesting presentations. It was cool to hear about the initiatives being taken by the project, but also the challenges that you face with a partnership. So next, we'll be hearing from Johanna on behalf of UNIPID.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. So I'm Johanna Kivimäki, the coordinator of UNIPID Network, and I was asked to tell about UNIPID and what we do in support of Finnish universities in global responsibility and also the SDG 4 goal. So basically, UNIPID is a network of Finnish universities. It was established in 2002 by the Finnish Council of University Rectors, and it was actually happening right here at the University of Jyväskylä. The aim was to really strengthen the university's global responsibility by supporting the promotion and implementation of sustainable development in higher education and research. The network has been coordinated by the Department of Social Sciences and Philosophy here at the university from 2005, and we continue to be here at least until 2020. And in the University of Jyväskylä, specifically, we are also supporting the kind of strategic work on global responsibility and sustainable development and different kind of internationalization strategy work as well. So, and we can say that we're also kind of helping to like showcase the University of Jyväskylä as a leader university in global responsibility in Finland. So currently we have 9 member universities that you can see here. And our core funding comes from the member university fees. But we have also external funding for national and EU projects from the Ministry of Education and Culture and also Horizon 2020. So about our mission. UNIPIT aims to strengthen the interdisciplinary education and research in sustainable development and global challenges. But we also facilitate the societal impact and interaction of universities related to these global challenges and global development issues. And under these 3 pillars, I'm not sure where to show, there's so many screens, we implement a variety of activities. As our education services, the kind of most important and most visible activity that we have is our virtual studies minor program in sustainable development. So we coordinate this joint virtual studies minor program, and it aims to really offer kind of equal opportunities for students from our different member universities to learn about and study issues related to global challenges. So also at universities where there's not necessarily too much resources to offer all these themes, we kind of open the space between the students. And these online courses are organized by the member universities, and they kind of draw from the specific expertise related to global challenges in the different universities. And the courses are free of charge and available for students from the UNIPIT member universities. Then we also encourage studies and specialization in the field by awarding a yearly master's award in development studies in cooperation with the Finnish Society for Development Research. And in addition, UNIPIT also promotes the integration of asylum seekers and refugees in Finnish higher education system, for instance, by opening these UNIPIT courses, or at least some of them, to these groups as well. Even though they would not be already registered in Finnish universities, I mean. To support research, we advance partnerships between researchers and institutions specialized in global challenges. Specifically, we support Finland-based researchers' participation in international research projects, offering different kind of grants to support this. And then we also organize and award grants for seminars related to global challenges. And then we have also the UNIPIT DocNet initiative, which supports the interdisciplinary training and networking of doctoral students in development studies. And we organize yearly seminars supporting the dissertation work. This year's seminar is to happen actually this week. I'm going tomorrow to Tvärminne. And then we also organize kind of a doc shop, it's a workshop to discuss this kind of timely aspects of doctoral training and development research. And this is a network between the doctoral students and the supervisors. So it's kind of a comprehensive network in that sense. Then we also disseminate information about research calls and funding opportunities. And then specifically to international stakeholders, we spread the word about Finnish expertise on development issues. And then we also deliver requests for partnerships from the Global South or other international partners to Finnish academic community. And finally, our social impact work. We advocate for research-based policymaking and highlight the importance for higher education and research in facing global challenges. We promote and apply the expertise of our member universities also. We facilitate the researchers' contribution to different kind of development and higher education policy and policy documents, and then also to the national international research agenda and funding priorities. And basically, the different ministries want to consult us about these kind of policy documents that they are preparing or different processes. So as you can see, it's kind of true all of our activities that we support the global responsibility of the Finnish universities. But of course, if we look at the SDG 4 goal, the quality of the quality education for all, so we can of course see that our aim is, or our focus is on higher education sector and cooperation between higher education institutions in South and North and so on. But if we think about reaching quality education at any level, of course we have to have good quality research and higher education, including research training and education sciences to have and reach those goals. Then just really shortly, I could actually go through this. From our activities, retrieved a summary of the different grants that are available that might interest some of you. So to produce UNIBIT virtual courses, we organize normally a yearly call, and we grant a maximum of 6,500 to produce these UNIBIT virtual courses for our member universities. And then the Master's Award in Development Studies, also we have a yearly call for that. It's worth 1,000 euros. And then, and it's very much interdisciplinary, so education, and there's been a lot of theses from actually this faculty participating in the competition as well. So, yeah. Welcome for all the theses for the next year's competition. And then we offer also grants for seminars on global development. Then through our FinSeal partnership support instrument, it's the project, FinSeal project funded by the Ministry of Education. So we have quite a large budget to offer different kind of grants to support international traveling, organization of events, research visits, and also preparation of international research projects. So basically to support research partnerships. Also, and then we have also these targeted travel grants for specific events that we call for participants from the Finnish research community to participate in the STI policy dialogues. Yes, then maybe I take a step back just to kind of make visible our reach. So in numbers, we organize annually 15 to 20 courses with some 400 completions at the moment. Then more or less 30 theses are submitted yearly for the Master's Award. The UNIBIT DocNet has actually more than 55 doctoral students and 36 supervisor members. I didn't actually update the information from this month. And then in this FinSeal Plus project that I mentioned already, in 2016 we awarded some 79 grants with more than 100,000 euros, and we have an info bank, which is a database that lists Finnish research and capacity building projects. We have more than 180 projects there, and also quite a wide contact list of Finnish experts in the regions of Africa, Asia, and Latin America and the Caribbean. So, and then in 2016, our events reached some 800 participants, and we have quite an active mailing list, and then then different kind of newsletters to reach people. So we may be useful for some information if you're looking for partnerships or information on Finnish development research and so on. But that is my presentation about Unibit. Well, you can subscribe to our mailing list to have more information, and also you have a lot of information on our website if you're interested. And of course, you can approach me after this or our office in Opinkivi if you want to know about more of our activities. And also for the students, we do offer also internships every now and then. It's not necessarily on a regular basis, but whenever our budgets allow, we offer internships, and we have also had good interns from this faculty, so you can kind of stay tuned with that as well. But thank you for this.
Thank you so much. Next, we will be hearing from Hanna, who will talk about Sanord. Ah, you'll start. Oh, perfect. Okay. You'll start again.
Yeah. Awesome. So, there's a little bit of confusion here. I'm now wearing my other hat. Let's see. Okay. So I'm Johanna Kivimäki still. continuing in the capacity of University of Jyväskylä's contact person for the Sanord network. So I was also asked to shortly present Sanord and then talk about the conference that is organized here next year. So a few words about that. As I said, I'm the contact person for Sanord for the University of Jyväskylä. I also have been participating in the strategy working group and in this committee to select different grantees in the Sanord network, and also the Sanord conference committee. So, Sanord, or Southern African Nordic Center, was launched in 2007 to promote cooperation between Nordic and Southern African universities. And there's today some 42 member institutions. From Finland, there's Jyväskylä, Itä-Suomi, Eastern Finland, Tampere, and Turku are the partners from Finnish higher education community. The Sanord central office is located at the University of Western Cape in Cape Town, South Africa. And there's a director and a coordinator and an administrative person, and also like half-year interns that change there to work for Sanord. And in the different partner institutions, we have institutional representatives, including the university leadership and then the administrative contact persons. Then kind of the how Sanord works, they have the decision-making organized so that there is a board, and then there is a council, which actually includes members of all the member universities. And then there's this kind of different working groups, as the strategy working group and different committees for instance, selecting the grantees for the different grants. So what is it about? What you see here is actually from a draft strategy. Sanord is at the moment drafting the new strategy, and they are going to confirm this in this year's conference in December. So this is not official, but it's definitely in line with the current strategy, and I wanted to bring these to your view rather than the old strategy. Basically, Sanord is a non-profit university network to advance academic collaboration between the Nordic and the Southern African regions. Sanord seeks to address regional and global challenges of higher education, research, innovation, and development. and also to contribute to the achievements of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. Yes, the main goals are to provide a forum for members and other stakeholders, promote collaboration between Southern African and Nordic higher education institutions, address regional and global challenges of research, innovation and development, and then to promote academic quality, academic freedom and joint values. Then about the activities that SANERD does. So SANERD organizes, or actually different SANERD member universities organize, an annual SANERD conference or symposium. And it's every second year it's organized in the south and every second year in the north. This year's conference is organized in Zimbabwe, in the Victoria Falls, in the end of November. So if somebody is suddenly interested and didn't know about it before, the registrations should still be open. And yes, also main activity is to share information and connect people, sharing information on different kind of events and financing possibilities, for instance. Then for researchers and PhD students, there's also offered seed funding for research theme groups. There's a call yearly for that. And then also publications are produced on the basis of the annual conferences and also in these research groups that are funded by the SANERD. And SANERD also offers delegate support to the thousand participants who present in the annual conferences. Then for the master's students, there are possibilities for Nordic students to do their internships in the SANERD office in Cape Town. And I think also from UVascular there have been a couple of interns already there. And then for the Southern students, there is this Brian O'Connell scholarship that is offered for Southern students to cover some costs of an exchange period in a Nordic university. So this is also something that is good for you to know if you have some contacts for master students in Southern Africa and are thinking about possibilities of exchange periods here. Okay, so then I am proud to present that next year's SANERD conference is organized here in UVascular. The dates are August 15th to 17th, and the main topic is academic citizenship, recognition, resilience, or resistance. And it is this very faculty that is the kind of main organizer and the kind of thematic leader of this conference. And yes, still about that, the call for abstracts will open, and also the kind of sub-themes for the conference will be published on the 1st of December 2017. And the deadline for submission of abstracts should be on 18th of February. So also stay tuned with this information. And well, the aim of the conference is to discuss the kind of various interpretations of academic citizenship and the ways that education and institutions can engage with communities and society. And well, there will be rather big delegation of Nordic and also Southern participants coming to UVascular for this conference. So this, of course, is a chance for also you to learn and discuss different kind of perspectives and create connections with people. And then I believe Hanna will say a few words about some internship opportunities related to the conference.
Yes. Just to add on what Johanna said about the conference, there will be several opportunities for all of you to engage. Of course, if you have some relevant research that you want to present, please do submit an abstract to the conference. I definitely encourage people who are based in Jyväskylä to do that, because for once the travel costs will be quite easily covered. For students who are interested in the conference theme, you will get the opportunity to sign up as conference assistants. So do keep these dates on mind when you plan your program for next summer. We will be recruiting conference assistants and also provide some opportunities for longer-term internships over the summer. So we will be announcing this through the faculty mailing lists, let's say in January, February, we hope. So for those of you who are interested in the themes, do stay tuned and try to get involved in a way or the other. It is a very exceptional opportunity for all of us to engage in these issues at the international level. And there's a pile of postcards, so you can take one for your room or for your office as a reminder.
There's also UniBit and Finsky brochures, so feel free to take them if you want.
Thank you so much. I definitely know new ways to get involved now. Thanks for the presentation. And last but certainly not least, we'll have the student union, Aggie and Rania, if you can come up, give them a warm welcome.
Everyone. So we are from JYY, Student Union of the University of Jyväskylä, and thank you very much for inviting us here in this seminar to present the development cooperation work that JYY does. And I'm Ronja Karkinen, I'm in the board this year, and I'm responsible for this matter.
Yes, good afternoon all. My name is Agnes Storcic, and I also work in the student union as a specialist in international affairs and development cooperation is also my sector in addition to international affairs. And indeed, thank you for inviting us and giving us the opportunity to be here. But first of all, how come that we as a student union, whose primary job is to take care of the interests of the students, we are an advocacy organization, how come that we can come here to talk about development cooperation? How come that we do development cooperation at all? And that is actually related to the Universities Act, in which the role of the student union is defined. And there it says that the student union participates in the implementation of the educational mission of the university by preparing students for an active, informed, and critical citizenship. So we do see that development cooperation is one of our core tasks as well, and that we do have to take actions for global responsibility.
Yes, and what is this that we actually do? So we have a sector that consists of the subcommittee of development cooperation. This is free for every student to join who is interested in these topics, and we have meetings in once a month and do various kind of activities. We are also going to talk about you later in this presentation. Then there is me as a board member, who is always, we have every year's board, there is one responsible for this. And also then we have Agi, who is doing these things. Then we are having projects that we are running in this development cooperation sector. One of them is a women empowerment project in India, which we have been doing now for 8 years, and which is actually coming to an end in the end of this year. Then other one is Development Cooperation Week, which is an annual theme week, and which was actually last week this year, so I can't advertise that. Yeah. But yes, annually. So welcome next year. And then we have Fairtrade University Project. The university and the student union together are a part of this Fairtrade University project, and we have a label for that, and the project is to keep the label in our hands.
So now, in the following, we could introduce you the project a bit more in detail, and we will start with the project in India, as that is our largest project at the moment. So the official title of the project is Village Community Empowerment Project, and it used to be funded by the Ministry for Foreign Affairs of Finland. We had two project phases together with the ministry. We started in 2010, and we had a 3-year project after which we applied for continuation, and we did get funding for a second phase, a second 3 years, and that ended in 2016 in the spring. And unfortunately, we didn't get funding for the exit phase of the project, but the student union then decided that. We feel that it is important that we continue the cooperation with our project with the project partner, who were counting on those two more years. So we decided that still last year and this year we were supporting the project with our own kind of efforts that we could do for them. The implementing organization is called Barashmi Society, and it is located in Rajasthan area, which is marked on the map. They are located in Jaipur, but the project area is not in Jaipur, it's close to Jaipur. It's called the Bijolia block. And the project budget was about 45,000. It was still funded by the ministry, and then when the student union was supporting the project alone, that last year we were able to collect them about 5,000 euros, and then in this year we estimated about 8,000 euros. It's quite a good amount of funding, but of course it resulted in having to decrease the actions of the project quite a lot. And the beneficiaries of the project are village communities in this Bijolia block. In the first project phase, it was about 80 villages that were participating, and then in the second phase, it was 130 villages. In general, the project goal was to contribute to making it possible for deprived and marginalized communities like the schedule caste in the Bijolia block to improve their lives and their living conditions. And the objectives were to empower women, children, and other marginalized groups, and to encourage people to participate in their community development and take actions, an active role in solving problems and matters that affect their lives. And the ways how this was done is through education, and also the project included or still include different kind of meetings and groups. Activities from year 2015, which was the last complete year that was founded by the ministry, we had awareness creation campaigns and rallies for sending children to school. There were 13 rallies. Children who enrolled schools in that year were 1,050, from which 520 were girls, 7 were girls, which is a great number. And during the project phases, we also had quite many girls who previously who dropped out from school, they returned to school. So that was a big achievement. Provision of educational material. 750 students have received educational material, and we also established with Bar Rashmi Society sports centers and information centers. And this project, as said, it was mainly concentrating on women and girls and children, and through that to men and wider communities. So, but what was done in the women and girls empowerment, we established and then later on strengthened adolescent girls groups. They were discussing topics such as hygiene and about human rights, reproductive health, child marriage, things like that. Then there were support women's self-help groups, and then women also were able to, and they are actually still in this phase of the project, they are able to get loans to microloans to establish their own businesses to get some income.
Yes, and now about how our actions contributed to the SDGs. So about the quality education SDG, we provide education materials and we're creating a safe environment to go to school and also awareness of the importance to go to school. And all of this, especially for those marginalized groups and people mostly need, girls and poorest of the poor, for example. So those were in our focus in this work. And then also one other SDG that we contributed was this gender equality, and number 5, achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls. So in this field we have these girls and women's groups that were to raise awareness of many different topics and raise information and give information and education. And also this microloan service that we provided women microloans to get their own business started. Yes, and then shortly about then our projects here in Finland. So about the Development Cooperation Week, we would like to tell that we have had their team weeks, which have had, for example, SDGs 1 year and education and women, so topics related also to this today. And in this, for example, last week's week, we had, for example, SDG workshop presented. We presented our India project. We had Unibit visiting our event, and we had a fair where different organizations and networks working in the field of development cooperation could visit and give information of their work.
And then we have the Fair Trade University project, as mentioned, together with the university. And we have been doing that for quite many years, but the first time we received the title, or the university received the title of being a Fair Trade University in 2014. And ever since, every year we have to renew, we have to apply for this title to keep it. And in order to get the title again, we also have to improve the conditions and the situation of fair trade products in the university community, and every year we managed to get the title again. The Fair Trade University project basically includes that faculties, departments, different kind of groups, subject associations have to use fair trade products in their events, or in certain events, and then we have to promote the product, and of course through the product the values that it shares in the university. And then about the subcommittee, you wanted to
yes. So the subcommittee is where this work is actually done. And for example, the India project, we keep it up and see how it is going, and also present it in different places to the students of the JYY, and try to raise awareness that we have this project then, and that you actually can also join the work that we are doing for it. Also, we try to raise money for the India project, which we have done, for example, by having a cooking class, and we try to arrange it also again this year that you could come and cook Indian food, and from the payment of the course, then something is going to the India project. Then also we have had bake sales where we are selling the baked goods we have done ourselves to support the India project. And yes, also the subcommittee has been involved in thinking about the future now of JYY development cooperation as the India project is now going to end. And also the subcommittee is free to do different kinds of activities also that they think that is important and what they would like to learn about and raise awareness about. For example, we had this True Cost movie night in the springtime where we discussed about the clothing industry and how it could be more ethical. We have arranged several seminars and panels ourselves as we are also attending to others. But if you are interested, all the students in this room, about joining our subcommittee, it would be highly appreciated and nice. Welcome.
And then finally, about our impact. We have impact both in Finland and then globally. In Finland, our greatest impact is probably are on the student coordinators who are coordinating the three projects that we have. The impact is indeed really, really large. Many of them, after this experience, they want to continue their career on the field of development cooperation in some way. We also have a great impact on the subcommittee actives, our volunteers. We have, in most of the subject associations, we have a representative of development cooperation who come to the subcommittee meetings and who then bring back the information to their subject organization about the issues that we are dealing with. So they are also quite strongly impacted. And then we have, of course, quite a lot of participants in our events, especially in the Development Cooperation Week, the annual week. And then we have the wider student community is impacted, and through the Fair Trade Project, also the university staff. And then globally in India, the direct impact is on women and children and youth, and then the indirect, as mentioned, is on the men and the wider communities in the Bijolia block. And then through the Fair Trade Project, our impact is on mainly on the producers. And usually here in the university, we focus on coffee, tea, and sugar, and these kind of things. So the producers of those kind of products are impacted by our actions. Thank you so much for listening to us, and hope to see many of you then in our activities and the subcommittee meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you to all our presenters. It's exciting to hear about all the cool things that are happening at our university and around.